Have you ever stayed somewhere that just felt wrong? Not because you saw a ghost, not because something jumped out at you in the middle of the night, but because from the moment you stepped inside, it felt like someone else had already claimed the space. Maybe it was the silence. Maybe it was the way every floorboard creaked, even when nobody was walking. Or maybe it was that strange feeling that someone was standing just behind you, watching. Even though every room was empty. Tonight's story takes us to the mist-covered hills of northern India, where one beautiful colonial mansion has spent nearly a century collecting rumors, legends, and stories that refuse to disappear. Guests have reported hearing footsteps echoing through empty hallways. Some say they've heard laughter. Others claim they've heard crying. Some even swear they've heard singing drifting through the house long after everyone has gone to bed. And almost every story centers around one woman, a woman who may have never truly left.
Tonight, we're heading to Morgan House in Kilimpong, India. A mansion that's as famous for its breathtaking mountain views as it is for its ghost stories. It's one of those places where, depending on who you ask, you'll either hear about incredible architecture or you'll hear about the sound of high heels walking across wooden floors in the middle of the night.
I'm Em.
And I'm Nick.
And welcome in to the Ominous Archives. So, before we dive into the hauntings, we should probably talk about where Morgan House actually is. Kalimpong is a hill station in the Indian state of West Bengal, tucked into the foothills of the Himalayas. It's surrounded by forests, valleys, winding mountain roads, and on a clear day, visitors can even catch breathtaking views of Kanchenjunga, the third highest mountain on Earth. It's honestly gorgeous. If you look at pictures today, Morgan House almost looks like something pulled straight out of the Scottish countryside. Stone walls, steep roofs, large fireplaces, wooden staircases, and ivy slowly climbing over the outside of the building. It's peaceful, quiet, exactly the kind of place you'd imagine escaping to for a relaxing vacation.
Which is kind of ironic, considering most people know it today because they don't end up having relaxing vacations.
These days, Morgan House operates as a boutique hotel through the West Bengal Tourism Development Corporation. People from all over the world stay there. Some come because it's beautiful. Others come because they've heard the ghost stories. And some probably arrive for both reasons. But long before it became a hotel, it was somebody's dream home.
Morgan House was built during the 1930s by George Morgan, a wealthy British businessman involved in the jute trade. Jute was an incredibly valuable crop at the time, used to make everything from rope to sacks to textiles. George Morgan had done well for himself financially, and according to the historical accounts, we found the mansion was built to celebrate his marriage. His wife, often referred to simply as Lady Morgan, also came from wealth through her family's indigo plantations. Oddly enough, despite how famous this ghost story has become, her first name doesn't seem to appear in many historical records. History remembers her almost exclusively by her husband's surname.
Which somehow makes the story even sadder. Because the woman who's supposedly responsible for one of India's most famous haunted hotels doesn't even get remembered by her own name. According to historical accounts, the newlyweds used Morgan House as a luxurious summer residence. It overlooked the mountains, hosted lavish gatherings, elegant parties, and welcomed influential guests from British society. At the time, it represented wealth and prestige. No one could have guessed it would eventually become known for something much darker.
And here's where things start becoming a little difficult to separate. Because the documented history begins to fade, and local legend begins to take over. There's a historical agreement that Lady Morgan died while living at the house. What historians don't agree on is exactly how she died.
Over the decades, several different versions of her death have emerged. One of the most common stories claims she died by suicide. Some versions specifically say that she hanged herself inside what guests now know as Room 101. Another much darker legend alleges that she suffered abuse at the hands of George Morgan before her death. Some stories even go so far as to claim that she was tortured. It's an incredibly disturbing allegation, but it's important to say there isn't solid historical evidence confirming those claims. They're part of the folklore surrounding Morgan House rather than a documented fact.
And that's something we'll keep coming back to throughout this episode. When places become famous for being haunted, the stories tend to grow. Details change. Rumors become accepted as facts. So we'll always try to distinguish between documented history, local legend, and eyewitness claims.
What does seem consistent is what happened afterwards. Following Lady Morgan's death, George Morgan left the mansion. Without any direct heirs, the property eventually passed into the hands of trustees. After India gained independence in 1947, ownership transferred to the government. For a time, it served as a government rest house, and historical records even note that it was prepared in connection with plans involving India's first prime minister, Jawaharlal Nehru. During a period of illness after his death, those plans never came to fruition, and eventually the estate was transferred to the tourism department. By the mid-1970s, Morgan House had entered a new chapter as a hotel. But according to countless stories, its most famous resident had never checked out.
Because not long after guests began staying overnight, the reports started. And they all seemed to revolve around the same thing. It wasn't apparitions, not shadow figures, just footsteps. To be more precise, high heels. They were walking slowly across old wooden floors, even when no one else was there.
And that's where the real mystery begins. One of the first things that really stood out to me while researching Morgan House is that, unlike a lot of haunted locations, the stories aren't all about seeing ghosts. In fact, a lot of guests never claim to see anything at all. Instead, they just describe hearing things. And sometimes I find that creepier. Because if you see something strange, your brain can try to explain it away. Maybe it was the trick of light. Maybe you were tired. But when you're lying awake in bed and you hear someone walking outside your room, that's a different kind of unsettling.
Especially when the footsteps have such a specific description. It's not just random footsteps. Over and over again, people describe what sounds like someone wearing high-heeled shoes, walking through the wooden corridors. Tap, tap, tap. That was a very bad interpretation of high heels. But we all know what they sound like. They're slowly moving through the house. Some guests have even said the footsteps seem to stop right outside their room before continuing down the hallway. Others claim the sound travels up the staircase toward the second floor, where many of the legends surrounding Lady Morgan are centered.
And whether or not those footsteps have a paranormal explanation, I think we can all agree that's probably not the sound you want to hear in the middle of the night when you're staying in a nearly century-old mansion, especially one with the reputation that Morgan House has.
The footsteps aren't the only reports either. Visitors also claim to hear laughter echoing through empty hallways. There's soft crying, someone singing, and in some accounts, even screams. Now, none of these reports have been scientifically verified, and experiences like these are incredibly subjective. But what's interesting is just how many stories seem to revolve around sound rather than visual sightings.
And while there have certainly been claims of people seeing a woman inside the mansion, those stories are actually much less common than the sounds. Some guests have described seeing what appears to be a woman in white or a figure moving toward the upper floor before disappearing. Others have said they caught movement out of the corner of their eye, only to find no one there. Again, these are reported experiences. They are impossible to verify, but they've become part of Morgan House's reputation over the years.
There is one firsthand account that really caught our attention while researching this episode, not because it's the most dramatic, but because according to the person who shared it, she had absolutely no idea Morgan House was considered haunted when she booked her stay.
That account comes from Sushimita Pao, who shared her experience after staying at the Morgan House in 2017 with her mother and teenage son. According to her, they booked 3 nights through the West Bengal Tourism Development Corporation simply because the property looked beautiful. The photos showed this gorgeous colonial mansion surrounded by misty hills and gardens. There was nothing that made her think she was checking into one of India's most talked about haunted hotels.
Honestly, I think that's one of the reasons her story stands out. She wasn't a paranormal investigator. She wasn't ghost hunting. She wasn't hoping something spooky would happen. As far as she knew, she was just taking her family on a vacation.
She described arriving around lunchtime and spending the afternoon exploring the grounds. The family wandered through the gardens, enjoyed the scenery, had tea and snacks, swung on one of the garden swings while talking, and later took an evening walk through the pine trees and nearby golf course. And by all accounts, it sounded peaceful. She even mentioned how much she enjoyed the food and how beautiful the property was. Nothing seemed unusual. Nothing seemed frightening.
Then they went to bed. Their room was on the ground floor near the reception and dining area. Her and her son shared the main bed, and her mother slept on an extra cot positioned near a large glass window. As they went to bed, everything was quiet, at least to start.
According to her account, she had only been asleep for a short time when she woke up to the sound of her mother groaning. At first, she assumed it was just the stress of traveling. Long train rides can be exhausting. She tried comforting her before going back to sleep. But only a few minutes later, it happened again. This time, her mother seemed visibly disturbed and refused to continue sleeping on the cot.
So she didn't explain why, at least not that night. So her mom just wanted to move. Sushimita switches with her mom, which now puts her on the cot while her mother took the larger bed next to her grandson.
She later wrote that the cot was positioned beside a large glass window that couldn't fully be closed because of a cable running through it. Outside, there was only darkness, the gardens, the mountains, and complete silence. She said there wasn't necessarily one specific thing that frightened her. It was more of an overwhelming feeling that something wasn't right, more of a feeling she couldn't explain.
And that's something we hear in paranormal stories all the time. Not necessarily, I saw a ghost, but I suddenly felt like I shouldn't be there. Whether that's intuition, atmosphere, or something else entirely, it's surprisingly common in a lot of eyewitness accounts.
And according to her, Neither she or her mother slept much for the rest of the night. The next morning, daylight seemed to wash all of those fears away. She described waking up to incredible mountain views, enjoying breakfast, and once again appreciating just how beautiful Morgan House really was. She didn't even bring up what had happened the night before, and neither did her mother. Not yet.
That's when something unexpected happened. She started sending photos of the mansion to her sister. Just your normal vacation pictures, the view of like the gardens, what the building looked like, all the scenery around. And her sister loved how it looked and decided to search for the Morgan House online. And then a few minutes later, she gets a call from her sister. And according to her, the very first question that came out of her sister's mouth was, "Did you sleep well last night?"
Imagine getting that phone call. You're already a little unsettled from the night before. Then someone tells you, "Oh, you know it's supposed to be haunted, right?" I'd be looking up checkout times immediately.
Of course you would. I don't know. I mean, if the breakfast is good and the view's good, I'd stay.
Yeah, no. According to her, finding out about Morgan House's reputation completely changed the way she looked at everything that happened the night before. Before that phone call, she just assumed her mother was simply restless after a long journey. Now, she wasn't so sure. She wrote that she had booked 3 nights because she was captivated by the photographs of the property. It looked peaceful, secluded, and absolutely stunning. There was never any intention of seeking out the paranormal. In fact, she later admitted that if she'd known Morgan House was considered one of India's most haunted hotels before booking it, she may have chosen somewhere else.
And I think that's a pretty relatable reaction. I mean, there's a big difference between enjoying ghost stories from your couch and then realizing you're supposed to spend 2 more nights sleeping in the middle of one.
Wanting some reassurance, she decided to speak with the hotel staff. She explained what had happened during the night and how unsettled both she and her mother had felt. According to her account, the staff didn't laugh it off or seem particularly surprised. Instead, they handed her a Bible. She said they suggested placing it beneath her pillow before going to sleep. They also reportedly told her to say the words, "Jesus loves you." And if she became frightened during the night, she should call the reception where members of the staff would be awake.
That would make me want to check out. Because now,
extremely.
Now, to me, I feel like that's like, oh, like now you're dealing with demons and stuff. Like we're not mm-hmm. talking about ghosts walking around making noise. You're talking like just, you know, Jesus loves you and here's a Bible.
I'm, send you on your way.
Oh, I might be out. Now it's impossible for us to know whether that was standard practice at that hotel or simply how those particular staff members chose to comfort a nervous guest. But regardless, like we said, that's not the response you'd expect from someone who told you you had a bad dream.
No. If anything, it would make it worse. Like, if people who work there every day immediately know what you're talking about, that's a problem.
Later that evening, she also met a newly married couple staying at the hotel. But unlike her, they did look up the hotel more in depth of the hotel. And according to her account, they intentionally booked Morgan House because they heard all the ghost stories and wanted to experience the atmosphere for themselves. But they were only staying 1 night, which could have been the safer commitment for this family.
I agree. I was just going to say that. 1 night, very adventurous. 3 nights without knowing it's haunted, that's commitment.
And the couple even told her that if she became frightened during the night, she could call them for help, which is kind of nice. It's also a little funny. Because if something paranormal actually did happen, I'm not sure another hotel guest is who I'd want to be calling. I mean, at the same time, if they're going to go out looking for it, I'm not going to, hey, it's over here. And right. If you want to, you know, you take it away.
According to her, despite the Bible under the pillow and trying to stay positive, the second night wasn't much easier. She and her mother still struggled to sleep. She didn't describe seeing apparitions or hearing dramatic noises. Instead, she talked about a lingering feeling of unease, the sense that something simply felt off. And sometimes those stories are the hardest to explain because they rely entirely on emotion. There's nothing to photograph, nothing to record, just a feeling.
And after everything they'd experienced, she said they decided to leave earlier than originally planned. Before checking out, though, she spoke with the manager of Morgan House, and according to her account, she shared some of the local legends surrounding the mansion. And one of those was the version many people have heard before, that Lady Morgan died by suicide in the house. Some versions of the legend claim she hung herself upstairs in an upstairs room, though the historical evidence for that is uncertain. The manager had reportedly told her that the room connected to those stories had been sealed. Visitors could see it from the outside, but you can't get in.
Again, it is important to remember that this comes from her conversation with the manager and reflects local stories rather than verified historical fact. But her account didn't end there. She wrote that her mother finally explained why she'd been so frightened on that first night. According to her mother, she hadn't simply been uncomfortable. She believed that she'd seen someone, a young man standing near the bed. She claimed the figure pulled the blanket away from her, and when she turned over, he was still there. This time, sitting beside the bed and pulling at her arm. That's when she began groaning, which woke her up.
Now, whether that was a vivid dream, sleep paralysis, or something she genuinely believes she experienced, there's really no way for us to know. But it clearly left a lasting impression on her. It's also interesting because that figure doesn't match the usual legend surrounding Lady Morgan at all. Most of the stories focus on a woman, not a young man.
Which brings us to another theory surrounding Morgan House, because not everyone believes the reported activity has anything to do with Lady Morgan. Some locals point to something much older. According to one long-standing legend, before Morgan House was ever built, a devastating landslide struck the hillside. The story claims that several people were buried beneath it. Some versions even say their bodies were never recovered before construction eventually began. Instead, the mansion was built over the site. Now, there's no historical evidence confirming that story, but if you've listened to this podcast for a while, you'll probably recognize a pattern. Whenever a place has unexplained activity, people often search for older tragedies to explain it. Sometimes those stories are rooted in history, sometimes they're folklore, and sometimes it's almost impossible to tell where one ends and the other begins.
And honestly, that's one of the reasons Morgan House fascinates me. It's almost like there isn't just one ghost story. There's layers to it, you know, kind of like Shrek and the Onion. If you ask one person what's haunting the mansion, they'll immediately say Lady Morgan. Ask someone else, and they'll tell you it's the spirits of people who supposedly are buried underneath the property after a landslide. Someone else might say the house isn't haunted at all, that it's simply an old wooden mansion that creaks, groans, and settles with changing temperatures. There's not one agreed upon explanation. There's several. And somehow, that almost makes it more mysterious.
Because if everyone was telling the exact same story, I'd probably be a little more skeptical. But when you start hearing different experiences from different people over decades, even if none of them can be proven, it definitely makes you stop and think. One guest hears footsteps. Another hears someone crying. Someone else claims they saw a figure. And another person never experiences anything at all. It's impossible to know what to make of it.
And despite all the stories, Morgan House has never stopped attracting visitors. In fact, the ghost stories have almost become part of its identity. People travel there specifically because they've heard about the hauntings. Some are hoping to experience something paranormal. And others are just curious to spend the night in one of India's most famous allegedly haunted hotels.
And that's actually something I think is really interesting. Imagine being someone who's worked there for years. You check guests in, you serve breakfast, you answer questions. Meanwhile, almost every day, someone eventually asks, "So, is this place really haunted?" I don't know if I'd ever get used to that.
It'd probably take a while, but I assume if you're like a 30-year employee, you'd be like, "I've heard it all." But I'm sure all the staff have heard stories, hundreds of stories over those years. And some of them probably sound believable. Some of them probably don't. And maybe a few have made them actually question what's going on.
Another thing we found interesting while researching is that Morgan House isn't just known among paranormal enthusiasts. Over the years, it's welcomed a number of well-known visitors. Several Bollywood stars have stayed there, including actors Sunil Dutt and Nargis, along with singer Kishore Kumar and actress Lena Chandavarkar. Testimonials from some of those visitors have actually been displayed inside the house. So, Morgan House has this really unique identity. It's a historical colonial mansion, a functioning boutique hotel, a tourist destination, and one of India's best-known haunted locations. Not many places can claim all of that at once.
I also think the setting plays a huge role. We've both looked at the photos of Morgan House during the day. It looks peaceful. It's pretty inviting. The stone walls covered in ivy, the rolling green lawns, mountain views that seem to stretch forever. If someone showed you these pictures without any context, you'd probably think it was a perfect place to unplug for a weekend.
Then, nighttime arrives. The fog rolls in, the hallways get quiet, the wooden floors start creaking, and suddenly, your imagination has a lot more room to work. Now, that's not to say every experience is just someone's imagination. We can't say that for certain. But environment absolutely affects the way we perceive things. Old buildings do make noises, wind can travel. They're perfectly reasonable explanations for some experiences.
And at the same time, reasonable explanations don't always explain every story. Take the reports of footsteps. If one person hears them, okay. Maybe it was another guest. Maybe it was the building settling. But when dozens of people, many of whom don't know each other, describe hearing what sounds like high heels walking through empty corridors, you at least understand why the legend has survived as long as it has.
And whether those footsteps belong to Lady Morgan, or whether there's simply another mystery we'll never solve, the stories have become inseparable from the house itself. In a way, Morgan House has developed two histories. There's the documented history, the one that you can read in records, the mansion built in the 1930s, the wealthy couple, the elaborate parties, the transfer to trustees, government ownership after India's independence, its eventual transformation into the boutique hotel that still welcomes guests today. But then there's the second history, The one that passed from guest to guest, story to story. The one whispered across dinner tables after a restless night. The history of footsteps, unseen voices, sleepless nights, and of a woman whose name has largely disappeared from history, yet whose presence, according to legend, never truly left the house.
So whether you believe in those stories is completely up to you. Maybe Morgan House is simply a beautiful old mansion with an incredible atmosphere and centuries worth of folklore. Or maybe, when the lights go out, someone is still walking those halls, waiting for footsteps to follow.
And if you ever find yourself in Kalimpong, maybe you'll decide to book a room and find out for yourself. Just don't be surprised if sometime after midnight, you hear the unmistakable sound of high heels echoing down an otherwise empty corridor. If you've ever visited Morgan House or another place with a haunted reputation, we would love to hear about it. You can reach out to us on our social media pages or send us an email.
So if you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to follow the show, leave us a rating, and share the podcast with fellow paranormal lovers in your life. It really helps us to keep exploring these eerie places from around the world and get them to you guys. And if you haven't already, be sure to check out our other team members' podcast, Sam. She's over at Scare Me Sam. She does amazing work and research for us. She does an incredible job with the Ominous Library. When I don't know how she finds that extra time to write those stories, but she does, and they're always great. But if you're in the market and need a horror, thriller, or fantasy book, she's your girl. That's what she does over there at Scare Me Sam. As always, stay weird and stay haunted. See ya.
See ya.